Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. Season 7, Episode 61, in our last podcast of the 2016 year. Dave, as we get ready for what appears to be a relatively meaningless game against the Browns, which it couldn't be better. The Steelers are obviously going to rest Ben, A.B., Le'Veon Bell, looks like Marquise Pouncey, some other guys would get time off to recoup from injury and get ready to go and look for the playoffs. And really, you know, the only thing Steeler fans really need to do is enjoy watching the game Sunday and keep an eye on what happens with Miami and New England, I think.
Yeah, and pray for health, of course, for the players that do have to play against the Browns. Boy, it's been several years, right, since we had one of these games, and didn't that game, what was it, 2010 or 2011, was it, that they played the Browns in a meaningless game to close out the season? Do you remember?
2008 is when Ben got dinged up. I think in a meaningless game against the Browns, he had a concussion, right, toward the end of the first half?
I'm trying.
Was it eight? Well, I might have my years wrong too, but yeah, I'm with you.
Well, they did. They played the Browns the final week in 2008 and beat the Browns 31 to nothing. And in that game, let's see, that was a Bruce. That was Roethlisberger versus Bruce Gronkowski. Roethlisberger looks like he played roughly around a half.
He got hurt in that game at the end of the first half.
And then Leftwich came in, and then Dennis Dixon threw one pass in that game as well too. So the Steelers finished 12-4 that season. And I'm trying to think if that really was a meaningless game or if they were playing for something that season. But regardless, it's good to finally have one of these where and I think Mike Tomlin put it best, you know, talking on Tuesday, you know, looking forward to finally having a postseason with a healthy Le'Veon Bell. And let's face it, they started off last year's postseason. You know, they had Antonio Brown for one game and then didn't have him for the game against the Denver Broncos. And boy, did they sure miss him. And it looks like, you know, guys like Stephon Tuitt will be able to come back for the start of the playoffs. And, you know, really hard to judge by what this week's injury report indicates, because you're always going to err on the side of caution as to making guys limited versus full and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think, you know, the take has been, I don't know that Ricardo Matthews will play this weekend with that ankle injury that he's had. Who knows what Chicklow's status is. I'm relatively confident you won't see Sammy Coates. You won't see Ladarius Green. But the fact that Ladarius Green is active is a good sign that he's moving through the process of concussion protocol. So I expect him to be ready to go for the playoff game. Coates, we'll see. We talked about the hamstring injury. It's now only been a week since he actually hurt that hamstring. The fact that he's doing some work is a positive sign. DHB, I expect, you know, the good thing in this game is I expect Darius Heyward-Bey and D'Angelo Williams to be part of the offense, being active, getting offensive snaps, so they get back in the rhythm of things and get some reps this week. So if needed, and again, we've seen that Le'Veon Bell is going to get, you know, he's going to carry the load. So if needed, maybe a snap here or there for D'Angelo Williams. But certainly Darius Heyward-Bey is a guy who could contribute in the offense, particularly with Coates' status with the hamstring.
Yeah, when you figure that, you know, and Antonio Brown, we're almost positive we ain't going to see him, although some people are kind of thinking he should get – what does he need? A few more receptions to win the reception title this year or whatnot, but I
forget. That's not happening. He's not playing.
Yeah, but with him down, with Sammy Coates likely down as well, too, that leaves you with Kobe Hamilton, Darius Heyward-Bey, Eli Rogers, and...
DeMarcus Ayers.
And DeMarcus Ayers, right? So hopefully Heyward-Bey is able to play because he only played... mainly on special teams in this game this past week. So it would be good to get him some snaps back on offense again as well. Here's the thing that we hope for. We hope we have a dilemma of who to dress and who not to dress in the first game of the playoffs. I mean, will they dress all six wide receivers if healthy?
That's a good question. I mean, you think about it, you would expect if based on what we saw, the three guys who would be inactive in the playoff game would be Mettenberger, Mihalik, and Jarvis Jones is going to be one of those guys. And then Al-Shabazz or Gilbert would be a fourth. I would think one of the running backs is down would be a fifth. Excuse me, one of the wide receivers is down would be a fifth. I don't think they'll dress six wide receivers. And then you find two more. Johnny Maxey would be a candidate if everybody's healthy. And then one more after that.
Yeah, I don't think you see all, you know, the question is, will DeMarcus Ayers have done enough to get a helmet by then? Does it come down to Marcus Ayers or Sammy Coates?
Maybe. Because, you know, DHB special teams value, we've seen it. The fact that he got that role again as soon as he came back last week would tell you yes. So, there's no guarantee that Coates is going to be 100% healthy. So that may well be the case. And another thing that'd be interesting to watch this week is who gets to return the kicks. Is it going to be Kobe Hamilton and Fitz Toussaint again? Is Justin Gilbert? He's going to get a helmet. So will he get an opportunity? Will DeMarcus Ayers get an opportunity? That's something else to keep an eye on.
You know, I wrote about this, after we got off the podcast on Wednesday there about DeMarcus Ayers and about how this is a perfect opportunity for them to get some work to someone else not named Antonio Brown, especially on the punt return team. And you go back and you I included in that the comments that Danny Smith made immediately after DeMarcus Ayers was drafted. And you know, if you remember, they called him the number one, their number one punt returner on the board. And that wasn't even mentioning kickoffs, which Ayers had, I think, somewhere around 70 of those during college. If memory serves me, he didn't return any kickoffs during his final season at Houston. But I think in his first two seasons, he returned well over 30 each, you know, in both of those. So going back to what Danny Smith said, you know, after drafting Ayers, you would think, you know, like we said the other day, this would be the perfect opportunity to put someone back there like him to at the very least return punts. Now, kickoffs, you know, depending on what you want to do with Kobe Hamilton, I think obviously Fitz Toussaint's going to be back there as the off returner. But I mean, why? I'll be very, because you go, and if you listen to some of the things that Danny Smith said during his coaches coordinator, you know, segment on Steelers Nation Radio that runs every Thursday, he didn't come right out and say that he wasn't going to use other guys, but he didn't really confirm that he was either. So one of the real things I'm really looking forward to against the game against the Browns is them giving some of those guys some shots. Just because you give a guy a shot to do that in this game, and let's say a guy like DeMarcus Ayers runs one back 70 yards, well, at least let us rejoice and all. Nobody says you have to do that, continue it on through the playoffs, you know, because we all know how Mike Tomlin is with these younger players and all. And maybe that's the reason why they don't want a guy like DeMarcus Ayers to do it. Maybe they're afraid of what might happen with him. I'm joking, of course. But, that's one of the real things that I'll be disappointed if it doesn't happen this weekend.
Yeah, we've talked about the importance of this game for Landry Jones in terms of setting his draft, his free agency value.
Todd Haley just wants him to win, David.
It's we'll see. I have no idea if the Steelers want to bring him back. We haven't seen Mettenberger at all. The Steelers obviously put in a waiver claim on him at the beginning of the season. So he's been there all year, so he's learned some of the system, but he hasn't taken any snaps. We'll see how that plays out. I mean, best guess, Dave, do you expect Landry Jones to be a Steeler in 2017?
Yeah, I was asked that a couple of times over the last couple of days. And David, I just think the Steelers don't like to pay their backup quarterbacks a lot, you know. And I think even with what Landry Jones has on tape so far during his career, I think it's enough for another team out there to pay him, you know, maybe approaching $3 million a season.
I was going to say, I don't see him getting more than $2.5 million a year. So, I mean, for the Steelers, here's the question. Do they want to draft a guy? And will they take the route that they took with Bruce Gradkowski, where they signed Gradkowski after the draft when they didn't get a guy? If they had drafted a guy in the fourth or fifth round, that guy would have been almost guaranteed a roster spot, and they wouldn't have signed Gradkowski. But they didn't, so they did sign Gradkowski. I could see the same thing evolving with Landry Jones, because Mettenberger's under contract for another year. He's going to be back, so you have some level of experience at the backup position. And the Steelers go into the draft, and if they end up taking a guy in the fourth or fifth round, then you probably won't see Landry back. And if he wants to go get a deal with somebody else before the draft, then obviously you won't see him. But they may let that go and see how it plays out.
If you could get a guy like Brian Hoyer for a minimum,
you're not gonna. I mean, you just saw what's his name, Chase Daniel, got $7 million. You're not getting Hoyer for less than four or five.
You don't think so? With his age now, creeping up there, and injury concerns with him and all,
I think he's a $5 million a year guy minimum. He's proven that he can play in this league.
I'll be kind of surprised, I think, if he gets maybe, that much money. But, all right, we'll name another guy, another kind of journeyman.
Matt Barkley's going to be interesting to see what he gets as he goes out into the market, having played well for Chicago. Mike Glennon is a guy who's going to command, real money. I think, somewhere above $5 million, get an opportunity with some guy. RG3, he's in a one-year deal, right?
No. I think they got him for another year at a pretty high number as well, if memory serves me.
Okay, so those are some of the guys who are going to be out there. But, I don't see the Steelers going to get another veteran guy. I mean, you've got Mettenberger, so it's either going to be Landry Jones or a draft pick, I would assume.
Robert Griffin III is scheduled to make $6 million with the Browns in 2017. He also has a $1.5 million roster bonus that'll probably be due to him within about the first 5 days of the new league year. So the Browns have an out with him. In other words, I mean, you cut him right after the start of the new league year, and you save yourself $6 million against the cap. The thing is who do they? Okay, what about Josh McCown?
Well, like I said, I don't see the Steelers going to get a veteran guy. So okay. It's either going to be Landry Jones or a draft pick.
Okay. Yeah, I just, back to the original question, I just don't see Landry Jones back. I think there's going to be a team that'll pay him, close to $3 million. And maybe that team gives Landry Jones a better opportunity to compete for his starting. How much does that, is it all about the money for Landry Jones? I mean, if he can make, a little less and stay, or a little more and stay in Pittsburgh, is that something you think he would do?
And I think at 2 versus 3, I think he'd actually consider it. Yeah,
because some of these guys want the opportunity to prove that they can potentially start elsewhere. So I don't know. I've said this for all season, so I might as well stick by it. I just don't think he'll be back.
Okay, so. We're not worth really getting into the X's and O's of this game, but over or under touches for D'Angelo Williams, 15 in this game. You think he gets 15 touches?
Yeah, that's probably right at the number on that one for sure. I want to get him work, but I don't want to give him. Because remember, this is D'Angelo Williams that injured a foot in that season finale last year against the Browns, right? And then they didn't have him the rest of the way. I'll take the under, David. I'll take the under 15 total touches.
And, you know, Fitz Toussaint, I assume something similar along those lines, you know, depending on how the game goes, they both get 10 to 15 touches, you know, catch a couple balls, carry the ball 10 to 15 times. So you have that. And then I don't know, we're assuming no Ladarius Green, right? Even if he clears concussion protocol, maybe if he's healthy, 100% healthy, do you want to get him some reps because he's only played half the season? Or do you just say, look, we're not going to deal with that?
I keep him shelved with Ladarius Green. I don't even risk it. I know.
So you got the four starters, Tuitt, Green, and Coates. Are your seven down?
Yeah, I think so. That would be the best bet right now. I'm looking at some of these backup or some of these quarterbacks scheduled to be free agents right now. Kirk Cousins obviously is going to probably end up back with the Redskins. Case Keenum, any interest there?
I'm just going to keep saying the same thing. So.
okay. All right. I mean, just looking at some of these names, and when you look at what some of these guys made. I guess my thing is about drafting another quarterback, David, at this point. I mean, sure it's possible that it could happen. Is how many years do you think Ben has left playing? And so what? I mean, it's going to take you 2 years to develop a guy, right? You know, is it worth it, I guess? And is Zach Mettenberger, can he be your number two coming off the bench next year? But
well, look, I've said all along I wouldn't be drafting a quarterback in these seasons, and the Steelers were talking about doing it last year, and I think because they didn't get one last year and they didn't get a running back, those are going to be two spots where they're definitely looking in this draft. I think Ben has 5 years left. I'm not overly concerned about it. I'd re-sign Landry Jones to see if you could sign him for a two-year, you know, $2.5 million a year. That's what I would do. So I wouldn't draft a quarterback, but I think they will draft a quarterback.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine what Twitter will be like if the Steelers re-sign Landry Jones?
I don't think anybody has. I don't think.
As a whole, Landry's still not celebrated.
I don't think anybody has an issue with it. They know what he is. He's a backup quarterback.
Yeah, I think I'm willing to bet you over half of our listeners want Landry Jones gone.
Really?
Yeah, I'm willing to bet you. I'm willing to bet you.
Let us know. Would you be up for re-signing Landry Jones for around $2.5 million on a 2-year deal if that were available?
You can send that to theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to put that. I just gave myself. It's so hard to come up with five questions on the Friday night five. So that'll be one of them as well too. Interested to see what the response is there. I'm kind of indifferent about whether I want them to. I just want to make sure that they have a decent number two, and I put myself on the business side of it. I think too much to think in how I think the Steelers think when it comes to how much money they want to pay with a backup quarterback there. And it just, that's why I just think he won't be back. All right, carry on. New topic.
I don't know how much we've got to get to here. It's just, I think we're going to see most of the defensive players get some reps in this game. And the question is, you know, how many will James Harrison get? How many will Ryan Shazier get? How many will Lawrence Timmons get? I expect the defensive backfield to play as they normally would. Maybe some guys get subbed in some in the second half. On the D-line, you don't have enough bodies to not play guys. So those guys are going to play normal rotation. And I would think, you know, the outside linebacker stuff, you're not going to play Bud Dupree the whole game, but you probably get him half the snaps. You're going to get Arthur Motes in there. Depending on Chicolo's status, maybe he's the guy, maybe he's not ready to go. So I would expect Jarvis Jones to play in this game and maybe play a lot in this game.
You're probably going to have to dress James Harrison regardless, but do you kind of keep him wrapped in bubble wrap, or do you let him go out there and work up a little bit of a sweat for about first series and then get him out of there?
Yeah, I'd ask him.
Well, he's probably going to tell you he wants to play.
Yeah, well, you know, I might just go back to the linebacker rotation type of stuff, or like you said, maybe have those guys play the first two or three series, and then have it be the Motes and Jarvis Jones show after that.
Yeah, I would. I would too. I think I want to get both Dupree and James Harrison lathered up, if you will, one series, two, if they get a three and out on the first drive there, and go from there. I tell you something. You know, the Browns are thinking about playing Cameron Irving at right tackle in this game, and if that winds up happening, there's going to be people lined up almost like they were in the movie Airplane, waiting to get a crack at that lady for sure, because Cameron Irving has been absolutely awful, and to see him play some right tackle, Chickalo, Bud Dupree, Jarvis Jones, they all ought to be lining up wanting to try to take a crack at him at right tackle. So that's something to think about in this game too. And remember, this is a Browns offensive line. What did they give up last week in sacks to the San Diego Chargers? Like 8 or 9? And isn't this the same Browns team that gave up like 7 or 8 sacks to the Steelers?
7 to the Steelers, first time around.
The last time? So you might be hard-pressed to try to get some of these guys out of the game, right?
Yeah, we'll see with RG3 and his mobility what you know, how quickly he's able to get rid of the ball. Dave, let's couple things. One, we saw Arthur Motes won the Chief Award. Sean Davis won the Steeler Rookie of the Year Award. And I don't know if we talked about Le'Veon Bell winning the MVP Award. No surprises to me on any of these. I know there's some discussion about the Rookie of the Year, and you could probably make a decent case for Artie Burns. You could probably make a case for Javon Hargrave. But I would have picked Davis as my guy.
I'm sitting here wondering how many people got my Airplane reference. Did you get it?
I got it. Yep.
Okay. Sometimes I show my age. It's amazing, some of these old movie classics like Animal House and Airplane and Spinal Tap and stuff like that. You quote some of that stuff on Twitter, I think it goes way over people's heads. But
well, they just weren't alive. They weren't alive for it.
I've gotten to the place where I'm old, and it doesn't. You know, you kind of forget that sometimes, but hopefully a few people got that. To your question, look, I've said for 2 or 3 weeks now, I think the right choice was Sean Davis. I thought that ultimately that the Pro Football Sports, you know, the chapter in Pittsburgh, Sports Writers chapter, would have probably went with Artie Burns, but I think Sean Davis was the correct choice. This is a guy that has gotten increasingly better, noticeably better, you know, from the midpoint season on, from the time he really started, really from the time that he had that snafu in the game against the Baltimore Ravens, I think. When you go back to that one play where I think it was the reception to the 30-yard pass play to Steve Smith, where Steve Smith was wide open and unguarded off the line, and even after that play, Keith Butler, you know, later on that next week, Keith Butler talked about it, blown coverage, and really it shows up on film where it looks like Sean Davis was the one that lined up in the wrong spot. I think almost from that point forward, you know, Sean Davis has played increasingly better week to week. He's very aware coming up and quick, coming up and filling run lanes against a run. Very quick out of his breaks and very heady as far as pass defense goes. David, I went back and broke down. I don't know if you saw it on the site. The Steelers safeties made 2 touchdown saving plays in that game against the Baltimore Ravens, one more so than the other one. The first one obviously was the pass breakup deep to Breshad Perriman there, I think the Ravens' second or third drive when the Steelers were in cover 3 and Artie Burns gets caught kind of peeking at the underneath route there. Mike Mitchell has to come over the top to defend that play there to kind of bail Artie Burns out, if you will. And then, of course, the second one, I think we talked about it on the last show, was the pass breakup by Sean Davis early in the fourth quarter on Waller, the tight end, where still the feeling that I got when watching that play live was, oh man, that's a touchdown there. And when you go back and look at that play, and I invite people to do it, it might be a page deep on Steelers Depot, is that was the old snag concept that the Steelers have run several times, where you have a flat, where you have an out, and where you are a flat, a corner, and a snag route in there. Waller, of course, had the snag route against what looks like the Steelers are playing a cover six in that, with Sean Davis playing the deep half on his side. That's a lot to ask for a guy to try to get outside with Waller on there. Not only does he get outside as the trailer on Waller, he gets that hand out there and it breaks out up that play, and that 4 points ended up being that he saved ended up being huge. And I think more than anything else, if anybody was on the limb about Sean Davis winning that Joe Green, you know, Rookie of the Year award, that one play right there should have maybe put you over the edge on that. So here's the best thing about it, right, David? You could probably make a good argument for Artie Burns, Sean Davis, and Javon Hargrave each winning that award.
Yeah, look, we discussed it a little bit on Monday. Five guys in the draft contributing in the game on Sunday. You got one who was taken off the practice squad by the Saints and one who's on injured reserve. So early returns on the 2016 draft, very good. So, Dave, let's just kind of year in review here, because we'll be getting right into some of the playoff stuff starting on Monday. But just overall, did the offense live up to expectations?
Not totally, no. And I think not what I thought they would be able to do. I mean, this is an offense. Yeah, 30 average, 30 points, yada yada. How many teams actually are able to accomplish that goal? Not many. But there were just so many hiccups with the bad penalties at the bad time. You know, miscommunications. Of course, injuries have hit this unit as well. Too. I mean, look, Wheaton. Barely played this year. Sammy Coates, after getting off to a hot start after the first five games, has been non-existent. Darius Heyward-Bey, after the first, eight, nine games, because he got injured in the game against the Ravens, has been non-existent. No, they have not met what I thought their ability would be. And it's, I guess it is right for fans out there to wonder, boy, if only Martavis Bryant, you know, would have been here with this team all season, would it have made a difference? I don't know how much a difference it would have made, but it would have made some difference, absolutely for sure.
Well, and you looked into getting ahead of ourselves, but looking to next year, you think about the whole offensive line back. You have Finney, you have Hubbard, and you have what's the fourth round kid from LSU's name? I'm drawing a blank.
Gerald Hawkins.
Jarrell Hawkins. What, Jarrell?
Gerald Hawkins.
Gerald Hawkins, right? So you got all that's eight guys right there.
And you got Mahalik, who they seem to like as well too. I mean,
right. So you got your offensive line. You've got all your tight ends. I don't know if David Johnson will be back, but you've got Grimble and James and Ladarius Green for a year. You got Rosie Nix. If Bryant does come back, you won't have Marcus Wheaton, of course, but you got the other five guys we've been talking about, because DHB's under contract, and then you throw Martavis Bryant into that mix. You need a running back, so you know Fitz will probably be back, and then you know you figure out running back will be the place they go in the draft offensively. But I mean, just think about, I mean, we talked about it this year. You think next year, assuming nobody gets suspended, you know, somebody's bound to get hurt somewhere along the way. But if you bring in Martavis Bryant, you have Ladarius Green for the whole year, you draft a running back to take D'Angelo Williams' place, man, it looks even better. I mean, Ladarius Green's going to be a big difference. And you know, everybody knows about Martavis Bryant. I mean, it's the wild card. Who knows if he'll be involved? But
yeah, well, your offensive line, I think you're already semi protected from injuries, moving forward. So you really don't have to do anything there in the draft whatsoever, I don't think, because even a guy like Chris Hubbard, I think he's going to be he's going to be a restricted guy this time around. If memory serves me, and if that's the case, you can keep him, with just one of those little right of first refusal tenders with him. We talk about Mahalik, and you talk about wide receivers. If we don't mention this name, I'm sure we'll get an email for it. I mean, and there's we haven't seen much of anything out of him due to an injury, but you got a guy like Kanan Severin, who spent the year on IR to compete at that wide receiver position as well too. Let me ask you this: if assuming D'Angelo Williams wants to play another year, do you re-sign him, and how much do you pay him?
Same money. Money doesn't change. $2 million. Yeah, if he wants to play another year, I'd re-sign him for the same.
Yeah, I think I would too, and just hope that you don't have to use him, earlier in the season. I don't, as much as
I do think they'll draft a running back though. So again, it might be similar to the Landry Jones situation where they wait, and if they go running back in the draft in the third round, let's say, then you're not going to sign him just because I wouldn't think they would sign him. Let me put it that way.
April from March to till the draft is a fairly long period of time. So what you're saying is you make no move with D'Angelo Williams until after the draft. But if you do that, D'Angelo Williams might end up elsewhere.
I can't remember. When he exactly signed 2 years ago, I don't think he wasn't an early signing 2 years ago, but
sure he was. Remember, remember, that's why I was patting myself on the back quite a bit after that, because he was cut loose from the Panthers, and then it didn't take long for him at all to land with the Steelers.
Put it this way, I don't expect him to be in high demand around the league, being a 33-year-old guy who's coming off a knee injury again this year. So I don't know that, waiting with him is going to, hurt his market.
Do you, assuming, and this again assumes that he wants to play then, so you don't think he will be signed anywhere prior to the draft? He signed here's the deal that he signed last go around. I mean, it was total value $4 million.
Yeah, $2 million a year.
And the good thing about that is the Steelers were able to give him only an $870,000 first year, 2015 base salary. Now this is the year that he actually made a $2 million base salary, but he had just over he made his $2 million in the first year of a combined signing bonus and first year base salary. So, if you re-sign him, here's the thing. Okay, let me ask you this. Is D'Angelo Williams likely to sign a 1 year minimum contract?
I don't think you have to ask him to do that. So,
okay. So,
it's the same with Harrison. Just make it $2 million.
1 year, $2 million. Here you go.
Yep.
Yeah. I'd like to see him back, but I have a feeling, and knock on wood, if the Steelers win the Super Bowl this year, I think D'Angelo Williams and James Harrison maybe both call it quits. D'Angelo Williams got some young kids. You would think at some point if he adds a Super Bowl championship to his resume, that might be enough. And same with James. I tell you, the side of football people should be excited about is definitely the defense. You talk about year in review, and we kind of did in that podcast on Wednesday about can this be a dominant defense? I don't want to go as far as dominant just yet, but boy, they sure have sure given you a lot of reason to be optimistic right now as we head into the playoffs.
More so than in years past. Hey, Steelers Nation, mortgage rates are currently at or near all-time lows. If you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, purchase a vacation home, or refinance, contact our buddy Craig Oxane at First Advantage Mortgage, a lifelong Steeler fan and Pittsburgh native. Craig's a nationally recognized lender that would love the opportunity to help out Terrible Podcast listeners. You can call Craig today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. Email Craig at blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. Company NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. Yeah, we did talk about the defense, and I think you have a similar situation with James Harrison. He's not going to sign with somebody else. If he comes back to play, he's going to play for the Steelers. I think, you know, kind of James Landry Jones, D'Angelo Williams, they're all kind of in the same situation for me. Is, you know, I don't necessarily expect this to happen, but if the Steelers were to go out and sign a free agent edge rusher and then take one in the draft, well, all of a sudden you say, do you have room for James Harrison? Because we know Bud Dupree is going to be a guy. Arthur Motes is under contract. I'm indifferent on Chickalo, but he made some strides forward this year. So are you going to have snaps for him? Do you want him around? I don't know that it would just be James's choice this year.
Well, you know, you start looking ahead to next year or during the offseason, and you got to work with Le'Veon Bell to, you know, I think a franchise tag comes first with Le'Veon Bell, and then you try to work out a long-term deal. You obviously are going to have to do something with Antonio Brown this offseason. You're going to have to do something with Stephon Tuitt between now and the start of the 2017 season. You're going to have you're not going to do something with Shazier other than give him his pick up his fifth-year option. But then, you know, you're starting to eat into all that quote unquote amazing amount of cap space that the Steelers have right now in 2017. What are you going to do with Lawrence Timmons next year? Obviously, I think we both agree Jarvis Jones, nothing's going to be done with him. Are you going to give D'Angelo Williams $2 million? Are you going to give a guy like James Harrison another $2 million? You got Greg Warren that's going to eat up $1 million. What are you going to do with David Johnson, Ricardo Matthews? Are you going to bring Shamarco Thomas back? Landry Jones, we already talked about him. You're going to have several guys that are restricted free agents that are going to be making a little bit more. Guys like Ross Cockrell and Chris Hubbard. So you start naming all these off, and then you know a guy like you just start naming all these off, and it starts eating into your money there. And obviously you can't keep them all. And when we draw this thing out, which hopefully isn't until February. You know, there's going to be several guys that we think are probably going to be back that unfortunately aren't brought back. So, you know, you can't keep them all, unfortunately, especially being as how you have to lock up guys like Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown and guys like Stephon Tuitt are going to have to get a new deal too.
Okay, should we let's take a look around the NFL. We haven't done much of that. The Cowboys get an impressive win on Monday night. I don't know if we touched on that again, but going into the playoffs, Dave, who are the most dangerous teams in the league? I think we both agree the Steelers and the Patriots are number one. The Steelers, I think, are the second best team in the AFC, given the situation that every team has right now. Everybody has some level of weakness. Oakland's lost their quarterback. Kansas City's playing as well as anybody. I mean, they're somebody that on the AFC side that may scare you. But I don't think the Texans are going to scare too many people with their quarterback situation. They've got a good defense. Miami, well, we saw they beat the Steelers, and they're playing great. They've won 9 of their last 10, but they haven't beaten anybody but the Steelers. If you look at their schedule and who they've played, again, they just haven't had to play many good teams. So is there anybody else in the AFC that gives you pause?
Just the Patriots. I think the thing with the Chiefs, and we know how to beat them. Just jump on top of them. If you get Alex Smith in the hole, that's how you beat the Chiefs, is you jump on them like a spider monkey. I mean, that's how you beat them, because you don't want them to get in a situation where they're able to, you know, where you're behind them, because that's when that pass rush comes after you. And boy, they get Justin Houston back, D Ford, they've got working over there, even Tamba Ali, being up in age. You know, they have in some great corners over there. That's the team that I'm worried about if they get up on you 13-0 or 14-0 or something like that. But otherwise, I think the Steelers have Alex Smith kind of figured out. So that doesn't necessarily scare me. The Raiders, everybody wants to talk about their offense, but nobody wants to talk about their defense. And their defense, I just think, isn't that good. The Dolphins have lost another safety. Even if they get Ryan Tannehill back, he's not going to have the mobility, and really some of the best plays that I've seen Tannehill make this year is him misdirection stuff, kind of moving out of the pocket there. So I'm not worried about him. So I think there's a good reason the Steelers are really have the second best odds right now in the AFC to come out of that conference.
Okay. So in the NFC, I have to say I've been increasingly impressed with Dallas after not really being a buyer. I don't think their defense is that good, but Dak Prescott has he's amazed me with what he's done here down the stretch. He just week in and week out, he continues to play well. So they're going to obviously have the offensive line. They've got Zeke. Dez is a top flight receiver. They Witten and I think some of those other guys, their other secondary receivers are better than maybe I gave them credit for when they played the Steelers. So they're one of the teams. And then the question is, how much do you buy into what we've seen, the resurgence of the Packers, very similar to the Steelers. Season's been almost identical. Matt Ryan and that Atlanta offense have been the best in the league. The Seattle defense we know is consistently good, but they lose their Earl Thomas. Who over on that side are you paying attention to?
Well, I think Seattle for kind of obvious reasons here. I mean, they're a been there, done that kind of team on top of it. When you look at in Dallas, obviously because of their offense. When you Dallas though is one of those teams though that has one of those defenses that earlier in the season I talked about, boy, when you get into the playoffs, you run into that one game where you need your defense. Can they overcome that? Now their defense I think has gotten kind of increasingly better as the season has worn on, but on top of it, their offense has put their defense in such good situations throughout the season where their offense is the one that's jumping on people. And whenever your offense does that, it makes life for your defense a lot easier. Atlanta, for obvious reasons, you're worried about them because of their offense. But a guy like Vic Beasley's come on now in this season, really able to get after the quarterback as well too. Those two teams, however, talking about Dallas and Atlanta, they entered this final week with adjusted net yards per passing attempt of 6.3 or higher. History says they can't win it. So we'll see. And then I'm not worried about Detroit. Obviously, when it comes to that, I keep going back to this. I said this the other day, David, don't sleep on the New York Giants. I know you're not a big fan of Eli and the Giants this year, but don't sleep on the Giants. Whatever happens here, because I think if they draw the right seeding and can get Dallas in that second round, I think they could be the team to beat Dallas. Then, who would we possibly see in the NFC Championship? I guess we should say, hey, look, remember that guy Aaron Rodgers is out there as well, too. So anytime you have him on the field, you're going to have a chance to win any game that you're in as well, too. So I think potentially you could, I think you could see a, Dallas – Green Bay or maybe a Green Bay Giants. I don't know how the seeding will work out. AFC or NFC Championship game.
My team's Packers Steelers. Let's put it down. Put me down for Packers Steelers for the Super Bowl.
What you don't think the Giants can come out of there at all? Do you think the Giants?
I don't. I'm just not buying that offense. They're too one-dimensional. I'm not buying Eli. I just don't think they're good enough.
Yeah, I I think Seattle could slip up too if they play the right, you know, right team. Look, I mean, Seattle's a team that could quite possibly lose to Dallas, I think, because of the way
they're playing. Yeah, of course. I mean, look.
Seattle's offensive line has been pitiful this year, and their defense at times hasn't been able to tackle. Watching them play defense at times this year, talking about Seattle makes you go, man, I've seen this somewhere before.
Yeah, they've been terrible on the road, too. So,
you know,
I mean, they've had four games, I think, where they've scored 10 points or less.
I don't have that in front of me, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. All right, so let's take a look at this week's games. I think we're dead even, Dave. I think we're both about 10 under 500 on the year. And I think if we're not tied, we're close to tied.
I think Alan says you're back to a one-game lead.
Back to a one-game lead. Okay, good to know. I had to do some work here. So, all right, let's do it. Last week of the season. Texans.
What a bad week to try to play catch up.
Texans at Titans. Texans plus three. I'm trying to think, does it have any meaning for the Texans? They're locked in at four, right? So
right. No
meaning for them. I have no idea. Give me the Titans minus three.
Yeah, I'm with you. Houston has nothing to play for in this game. Titans minus the number.
Bills at Jets. Bills minus 3.5. Were you surprised? I know you're not a huge Rex fan. I am a Rex fan. The Bills are proven to be a bit dysfunctional, just again in terms of how they handled it more than anything. They're minus 3.5. It's going to be the E.J. Manuel show with Anthony Lynn as the head coach. Give me the Bills.
Yeah, I'm not. Look, several weeks ago, even though I'm not a huge Rex fan, I thought, you know, there was a chance that he would stay on this year. But after that, after what happened in that game this past weekend, even I said he deserves to be fired, and out he went there. Man, I'm afraid I'm going to have to follow you around the track here on this one, because the Jets are just a mess. You know what? Fitzpatrick's going to play in this game for the Jets, and that's the only reason I have some optimism here. So give me the Jets plus the number.
Ravens-Bengals pick. Give me the Bengals at home.
Give me the Ravens on the road.
Skins-Giants. Skins minus 7.5. Again, I don't know all the scenarios in the this is a big game for the Skins. The Giants are in, and they're going to be a wild card, so I don't know what it matters for them. But minus 7.5 seems like a lot, but I guess the Giants are going to be resting people. Give me the Skins to win big at home to maybe get in the playoffs.
I'm going to take the Giants in this. I think they keep this one close.
All right, for the NFC North title, 8:30 Sunday night.
The only game
Green Bay probably, minus
the
three.
Only, the only game worth probably watching this weekend, unfortunately.
Green Bay minus three at Detroit. And the Packers have just been so good of late. Detroit's had a bit of a Cinderella season, but they may miss the playoffs here. Give me the Pack.
Yeah, give me the Pack on the road to take care of take care of the Lions for sure.
Man, these games are brutal. Jacksonville at Indy. Indy minus 4.5. I'll take Indy.
Yeah, I'm going to follow you around the track here. Give me Indianapolis.
Dallas plus 4.5 at Philadelphia. It's going to be the Sanchez-Romo show, but I guess Dak may start. Give me the Eagles.
Tyrone Smith, I don't think, is going to play in this game either for Dallas. And you know what Dallas is doing not playing Romo. They just don't want him to get hurt again, so they have to, you know, get caught. Look, I mean, they're going to lose some dead money regardless when they release or trade Romo during the offseason. This is all about just protecting Romo right now and hoping they don't have to use him during the playoffs. So Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett would be idiots to play anybody worth value in this game. So yeah, I think Philadelphia rolls in this one as well, too. So give me them minus the points.
Vikings minus 6.5 against the Bears. Do the Vikings still have a chance, or are they out?
I think they're out, aren't they?
Yeah, so give me the Bears plus 6.5.
I'll take the Vikings to recover and get past what happened against the Packers. So give me the Vikings in this one.
Bucks minus 4.5 against Carolina. I'll take Tampa.
Wow. Jeez. You know what? Tampa still has.
Somebody has to tie, I think, for them to get in. But
they still have to play, I think, and this is an early game. So give me Tampa to cover this one.
Falcons -7 against the Saints in Atlanta. I'll take the Saints in a high-scoring affair.
Yeah, this is you know what? This is the final wait a minute. Is this the give me the Saints on the road for this one.
Patriots -9.5 in Miami. Give me the Patriots. They're going to roll again.
You know what? I think Miami can keep this close enough. Boy, the Patriots, you pick against the Patriots this year and it seems like you lose. I'm gonna risk it. I'm going to risk doing that one more time. I'm going to pick against the Patriots. Give me New England to win this, but Miami to cover.
Arizona -6.5 at Los Angeles. Give me the Cardinals.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. Give me the Cardinals to cover this one to close up the season on the road.
Chiefs -5.5 at San Diego. I would normally be all over San Diego in this one, but Chiefs still have a little bit to play for. I'll take the Chiefs.
Let's see. When is this game? Later?
4:25.
And when does Oakland play?
4:25.
Yeah. The thing is that that New England game, if New England beats Miami, there's no reason. How much reason does San? You know, here's the thing. Kansas City can still win the
division. They can win the division.
Yeah, win the division here as well, too. So, wow. Does Phillip Rivers have one last one in him here? Give me San Diego plus the points, David. I'm gonna go out either ahead of you by a couple games or behind you by about three or four.
Seattle -9.5 at San Francisco. I'll take the 49ers.
I'll take Seattle in this one.
And then Raiders at Broncos. Broncos -1.5. They're bad. Give me the Raiders with Matt McGloin.
I'm going to take the Broncos to cover this one at home. I think they're going to get after McGloin. Like I said, they're off. Their defense isn't all that. I really like the chances of Oakland losing this game to close out the season.
Hey, Steelers fans, the mortgage process can sometimes be more challenging than spelling Roethlisberger. Let Craig Oxane guide you through the sometimes daunting process to help you score the home of your dreams, even in Cleveland. If you're considering buying or refinancing a home now or in the future, give Craig Oxane a call. He's an experienced, nationally recognized lender that can help you achieve the dream of homeownership. You can call Craig today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. Email Craig at blackandgoldlending.com or apply online www.blackandgoldlending.com. You got three easy ways to do it. First Advantage Mortgage Company, NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. Brings us back to the Steelers at home, 1:00. And remember, you can hear Charlie Batch and I on the postgame show immediately following across the Steeler Radio Network. Steelers are a 5.5-point favorite. Dave, look, I think the Steelers' backups are better than the Browns' starters. I think they'll go out with guys will be jazzed to play this game. I expect Landry Jones to play reasonably well. I expect the Steelers to be able to run the ball. I think the Steelers are going to win this game, and I'm going to give it to the Steelers 27-16, the same score I predicted last week.
Let's see. I think Landry Jones has one of those, 250-yard, two-touchdown, one-interception type performances in this one. It'd be interesting, you look at the Browns' injury report, even though RG3 looks like he's going to play, who else is going to play? We already talked about they might have a different right tackle out there. Do you even roll Joe Hayden out there with the injuries that he has? This is a perfect opportunity, and the Browns would be wise to use it to look at some younger guys in this game as well, too, and I think they will, and I think it might make a difference in the second half. We've seen a lot of these backups that the Steelers are going to have on the field in this game actually get some meaningful snaps this year. So I think maybe this one's close, and a lot of people are complaining during the first half, but I think the Steelers put them away in the second half there. In fact, I think it's something like 9-6 in the first half, and then the Steelers score, you know, about 17 points in the second half and shut the Browns out. So that makes it what? 17-9 is 26-6. How's that? 26-6.
26-6, a blowout. Okay. Good stuff. Well, Monday's a holiday. We'll get something out though. We got Rose Bowl. We got, you know, the bowl games with the New Year's Day games will be on Monday, but we'll be back and we'll know who the Steelers are playing Sunday night. We'll have the time slot figured out. If it's Miami and the Steelers in Pittsburgh, Dave, do you think they give the Steelers the 1 o'clock Sunday, or do you think they give them Saturday night?
People been asking me on Twitter the last couple of days. What do you think? You know, I ain't got the earthliest idea.
Yeah, it depends who the other teams are. So the other hosting team would be the Texans. They're going to get the worst slot, so they'll get 4:30 on Saturday, I'm guessing. And then in the NFC, the Giants are going to be one of the teams. They'll be on the road, so they'll get a primetime slot, and then we'll guess at what the other one is. So we'll see. But, yeah, I would expect the Steelers to give either 8:30 or 1 o'clock Sunday.
Yeah, I'm only good at predicting interceptions and groin injuries. That's that's where my crystal ball cuts off right there. I don't have a clue. Folks, thanks for a great year on the podcast, talking about a calendar year here. This, as David says, will be our final show of 2016. Thanks for putting up with my stuttering and David's coughing and sneezing and everything, the bad mixing qualities of this show for sure. We certainly do appreciate you listening. Hopefully the content of the show makes up for all of that there. And we appreciate the donations that we've received this year. And, you know, we look forward to carrying this show on into 2017. And we hope we're talking about meaningful Steelers football on into February. David, would you go to the Super Bowl if the Steelers go?
You know, I haven't missed one since Super Bowl 13. So depending on how they manage my post-game responsibilities, I would expect to be there.
All right. Folks, you heard the question that we asked earlier in the podcast. If you want to answer that or send us any other questions related to the show, go send an email to theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. If you want to donate to the show right before the end of the year, you can do so by going to SteelersDepot.com and clicking that donate button upper right portion of the website there. Got a few new writers contributing some stuff on Steelers Depot. A lot of great breakdowns as well, too. So always invite you to visit the site if you're not already doing so. And David, Happy New Year.
As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.